It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN at 101.3ESPN.com. You can always get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Full show today, and it's rare to say that these days that now we've started baseball season, but Red Sox off today getting ready for their home opener tomorrow when the weather's supposed to be a whole heck of a lot better tomorrow in Boston than it is here today in Burlington, Plattsburgh, and the rest of the Champlain Valley. Look, I really have no problem with rain. People always say that rainy days are depressing, rainy days are boring. Look, as long as I don't have anything to do that's outside, I really don't mind the rain. I grew up in Seattle. I'm used to the rain. I don't mind it. I like falling asleep to the rain. I like the way that it pitter-patters on the windowsill. I like the way it hits the window. I dig thunderstorms. Like, that's all cool to me. This is not depressing to me at all. But when I got something to do, like going to opening day tomorrow or something, it's got to be good weather. So all of you that are going, if any of you are going to opening day, let us know on the Town Fair Tire text line also. And we'll tell you what kind of things you can experience there tomorrow and what kind of things you can experience at Fenway later today. As at 6:40, we'll talk to Ron Bumgarner, who is in the Red Sox front office. He's in the ticketing department, but he can tell us all the new things that are happening at Fenway. Thank you to everybody who went out to trivia yesterday at the Burger Bar. What a success it was. A number of St. Mike students were there. A number of community members were there. It was a full crowd. They're adding more tables and chairs next week. So every Tuesday, 7:30 to 9:30, Burger Bar in Colchester. Next to St. Mike's on one side, next to Dunkin' Donuts on the other, across from Fannie Allen. So very, very fun time. Look forward to continuing to partner with the Burger Bar. That has been a blast. Remember, Friday, we'll broadcast live over at Natural Provisions in Williston, 101.3 ESPN Winter Craft Beer Tour. So come out and see us. That has been a lot of fun. And our friends over at Farnham Ale and Lager, they're going to be bringing over some samples, doing some tasting. So just what a fun way to end your work week and hang out with us on a Friday. So we look forward to doing that as well. As for what else is coming on the show today, we told you Ron Bumgarner, 6:40. Prior to that, I got to take Yankee fans to task. I'll do that at 6:30 and continuing to work backwards. 6:20, I will tell you more about the Brandon Cooks deal. A Twitter user called me out on my take on the Brandon Cooks deal, and I'll respond to that at 6:20. But first, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, because joining us now is Peyton Henson. And Peyton Henson is now, it's weird to say this, a former member of the UVM men's basketball program, a guy who was an all-conference player for the Catamounts, helped lead UVM do a perfect season as a junior in the America East at 16-0, a guy who helped lead him to a 15-1 season in the America East this year, a number one seed in the conference tournament both years, and now set to graduate out of eligibility. But he did have a pretty good weekend this past weekend, helped Team America East win $3,000 at the 3X3U showdown at the Final Four in San Antonio. So, Peyton, we appreciate you joining us. The Team America East took home $3,000 at that 3X3U showdown. What was it like playing out there?
It was a lot of fun. It's a different game for sure. And it was a lot faster tempo than I expected for a 3-on-3 game to be, just because the way they set up the rules. But it was a lot of fun, and definitely a lot of fun playing with Jahad and Tanner, and also getting to play with Trey one last time.
How did it work, you getting picked? How did the team get put together?
So they've had a watch list, I guess, this entire year, kind of just of the top seniors of every conference. And after the season, they kind of just made their picks, and some guys said no, some guys said yes. And that's how they kind of came up with the team.
What was it like for you being able to actually win some money? We know about the NCAA rules and amateurism, and you can't do it while you've got eligibility left. What was it like for you to take home $750 out of this?
It was definitely good. It's a fun, it's a cool, neat little tournament together. Each game you go now, whether you know you're advancing out of your pool or not, it's going to be competitive just because you know money's on the line. So, yeah, it's fun to kind of finally finish up my college career and then be able to go to this tournament with some cash playing basketball.
And what did you think? As you said, it was a different game. I loved it. The only thing I didn't like was I wish you guys would have been able to check up after every single made bucket. It was just as soon as the ball comes out of the net, pass it back out, and we go again. That was the only thing I didn't like. How weird was that?
It was something to get used to for sure. It's definitely different. That's how they play on with FIBA rules. So this 3-on-3, the reason why they're kind of doing it is trying to help pick up traction in the U.S. because it's actually going to be a U.S. or an Olympic sport in the 2020 Olympics. So that's the FIBA rules, and that's how they play it kind of overseas and how they'll be playing the Olympics. So it was weird at first, but it just definitely causes, you know, the team to kind of definitely think of strategies to kind of, you know, maybe get a quick bucket if you get scored on or different things like that. So it was different, but it's part of the reason why the pace was so fast and, you know, why they're only 10 minute games at the most. So it's definitely different, but it was fun for sure.
Peyton Henson, UVM men's basketball standout, with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I have to think conditioning was a lot more a part of this than I was expecting. When I first watched it, you guys looked exhausted, and even in 10-minute games.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like I said, the pace definitely caught, I think, everybody off guard there. They weren't expected to be so fast-paced, but it was, you know, it was definitely nice to have four guys on that team, so, you know, you're subbing every single dead ball, every possibility you can, just kind of get a quick breather. You know, there are a couple teams with just three guys on the team, and I know they were gassed every single game. And that first game, you know, Trey was coming back from the Reese's All-Star game, so we had to start that game without him, and we were about 5 minutes in, and we were all gassed. And, you know, luckily Trey came back, and we were all kind of had that sigh of relief, like, ah, thank goodness, like, we're going to get a little bit of a break here. So it was fun.
One of the things that I loved about the event was it had an NCAA tournament type feel. Every conference was represented, and the little conferences had a chance to beat the bigger conferences. That actually happened a pretty good deal. You guys had a good run. The SWAC had a good run. The Big West was in the final up against the Big Ten. What was it like being able to see some of these mid-major conferences or low-major conferences do so well?
It was really cool. I mean, I definitely think every single team that came to this tournament felt like they had a squad that they were going to be able to put definitely a run together or would have a chance to. And just because 3-on-3 is such a different game than actual 5-on-5, you know, you don't really necessarily need the best players from, you know, on the court to win. You know, you just got to get hot at the right time. And it was definitely a neat experience to kind of see all the mid-major and low-major team kind of put together a nice run in the tournament. Kind of just shows how talented, you know, a lot of these mid-major and low-major schools are getting.
You guys were down in San Antonio. That's the site of the Final Four. National championship game was on Monday. What was the environment like in San Antonio on the Riverwalk? What was it like down there?
It was really neat. A lot of people there. Really cool, kind of exploring the whole city. Tanner Leisner is actually about 20, 30 minutes away from where we were staying. So he kind of knew the area pretty well, so was able to show us some neat spots that maybe the tourists and didn't really know about, which was cool.
Peyton, and I know you watched the national championship game on Monday. Villanova wins that game by 17. What were your takeaways? What did you see?
Man, I mean, I had a feeling going in that Nova was going to win that game. They're just an extremely talented bunch. They have five guys that are really kind of interchangeable almost. And they just shoot the ball in space before so well that they're a tough matchup for anybody. And then, you know, because they're so talented offensively, sometimes you forget about how talented they are defensively. So they're just, I kind of felt going into the tournament that they were the team, that, you know, they're the best team. And they definitely showed it, you know, winning each game in the tournament by double digits kind of just showed how talented and how locked in they were for that tournament.
Peyton Henson, UVM men's basketball standout, all conference performer with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night. Just because your eligibility is used up doesn't mean that the Catamount faithful don't want to know what's up with you. So what's next for you? Are you looking to play overseas? Are you looking to graduate and enter the, quote, real world NBA tryouts? What are you looking to do?
Yeah, I'm in the process of kind of figuring that all out right now. I'm in the process of trying to finalize signing with an agent here, and then that'll kind of get everything. Everything else will kind of fall into place after that with workouts, whether that's over here or playing overseas. You know, it's going to be, you know, I guess it's one step at a time, you know. But I'm definitely trying to play after this, going into next year, so we'll just kind of see what happens.
Now, you had an interesting road in college, started your career at Tulane, ended up here at UVM and a part of two really good years in Catamount Country. What are your memories that you're going to take away from your time in Burlington?
Just the connections that I've made, whether it's with the community and especially with my teammates and my coaches. Burlington is just an extremely special place, and I'm extremely blessed to be able to finish out my last 3 years here. It really is a huge family. And so just the connections that I made with my teammates, you know, those are guys that I'm going to be considered brothers for life. And, you know, the coaches on this staff have been role models for during my time here, and the guys that I'll continue to look up to moving forward. And just the way the community welcomed me in and really took me in. It was just extremely special, something I'm extremely thankful for.
What's the future of the program look like? This is a program that is going to lose yourself. It's going to lose Drew Urquhart and Trayvell Haynes, three guys that had a real huge impact. Cam Ward as well with a big impact, sixth man of the year. But the cupboard's not bare. We know Anthony Lamb is coming back. What's the future of this program?
The future is still extremely bright with this group. You know, the same coaches, these coaches are going to get these guys prepared night in and night out. And it's still a really talented bunch in that locker room, and they're bringing a bunch of really talented freshmen. So if, you know, the Catamount Faithful, you know, don't expect a drop-off. Expect, you know, the same stuff that you've gotten the last 2 years with our team. And we'll be just fine. They're, you know, it's going to be a different look for sure moving forward, but it's a talented group, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to be extremely talented and have an extremely bright future.
Peyton, we'll get you out of here on two more questions, one serious and one fun. We'll go with the serious question first. What was it like for you to watch UMBC pull off the greatest upset in tournament history? Were you proud of the league? Did it help you get over your loss a little easier? Were you resentful and angry? What was going through your mind?
I would say a little bit of everything, honestly. I'm friends with a couple of the guys on the UMBC team, so I was happy for them. You know, they're a talented bunch and definitely deserve the success that they got there. But it was definitely also hard to watch, you know, because you can't help but think, you know, dang, that could have been or you know, should have been us in that tournament. And so it was hard to watch, but at the same time, you're happy for the conference, happy for those guys that were able to do it.
Peyton, last question here. It wasn't me who said this, but I will say this. Somebody on this radio station said that the day Anthony Lamb got hurt was the day that the UVM men's basketball season ended. And your mom actually got into it with us on Twitter in a nice way. So your mom was listening to our show, and we appreciate her support. What was it like having your mom be such a big part of the team this year? Because she was coming up to a lot of games, Peyton, I know, and listening to us.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was special. You know, extremely thankful to have my parents along the ride this last year and be such a huge part of the team and be able to come to so many games to support us. You know, just made my senior year that much more special.
Well, Mrs. Henson is welcome on these airwaves anytime she wants. So you pass our number along, Peyton.
I will let her know. I'm sure she'll love to come on and talk.
Peyton Henson, now former UVM men's basketball standout. Hard to say that. Former, but a guy who was responsible for a lot of memories here for Catamount fans. So, Peyton, we appreciate the time, the perspective, and all the memories you helped make for this program over the last 2 years that you were on the floor in uniform. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. There he goes, Peyton Henson. And one of the more memorable plays in the last 2 years, maybe even the most memorable play of the last 2 years, of all the great memories and all the wins that the Catamount program had in the last few years, Peyton Henson's dunk with, you know, under 5 seconds to play against Albany, under a minute to play, rather, against Albany in the America East Championship game 2 years ago. I remember it perfectly. Trayvell Haynes drives baseline, kicks it out, and there's Peyton Henson on the block, and he throws it down for a two-handed flush and the foul. And that's what sent UVM to the America East tournament. That is what sent, or to the NCAA tournament, rather, 2 years ago now. Two seasons ago, that is what sent UVM to the NCAA tournament, and one of the most impressive moments of the last 2 years, and it's a 2 year stretch that has been incredibly fun here in Catamount Country. So we wish Peyton well. Real quick, one more thing on the UVM men's basketball program, and we're a couple of minutes away. You know, coming back, we'll talk about more about Brandon Cooks, and at 6:40, we'll talk with Ron Bumgarner of the Red Sox front office about opening day and about what's new at Fenway this year, but. We had a really interesting talk early in the week last week with Jimmy Dykes, who's a longtime college basketball coach and now a longtime broadcaster at ESPN. And we talked to him about UVM getting a new arena, about how important getting a new game facility is. And Jimmy Dykes had a really, really interesting take on what might actually be more important than a game arena. Here was Jimmy Dykes with us last week.
It's huge, especially a practice facility is of utmost importance. You have to have a good one. you know, the kids are going to live in that gym. You don't want them to be knocked out in recruiting by a team that says they don't have a practice facility. We do. You can't work on your game 24 hours a day.
That is something that I had not thought about. A practice facility might actually be more important to the students in the recruiting efforts than a game facility. Look, I believe that Patrick Jim needs to go. And I know it's easy for me to say that because I'm not from here originally. I can look at Patrick Jim objectively and say it is not as nice a facility as other programs that Vermont is recruiting against. So therefore, it's time to upgrade. I can easily say that. It's a lot harder for someone who's been going to games for 20 years, 30 years, who went to school at UVM, who has memories there, men's side, women's side. There's a lot of memories in that building, and it's going to be impossible to replicate at a new facility. I think a game facility is important, but I had not thought about a practice facility. And Jimmy Dykes is absolutely right when he says that. College basketball players love to play basketball. College basketball players want to get better. They want to perfect their game, and they want the ability to do that all the time. And at UVM right now, there is not that option for the men's side or the women's side. College basketball players are, you know, Trey Bell Haynes can't walk into the gym whenever he wants because, yeah, he's booted out by, you know, women's team has practice. Or, heck, what do I know? Maybe there's intramural games happening at Patrick Gym and the schedule for the gym is very regimented. I don't know exactly the extent of it, but a practice facility, Jimmy Dykes is right. That is of the utmost importance, and all of the efforts locally are being focused on getting that brand new game arena, and I believe that that is necessary. But there also needs to be a practice facility at UVM, and I don't mean to write, you know, try to tell Jeff Shulman and company that he has to write checks to, you know, or start making more plans and try to just go and get more and more money here. But Jimmy Dykes is right. These players, people who enjoy basketball, want to be able to play it whenever they want. And that goes for both the men's team and the women's team. And when Hurley left Rhode Island, Dan Hurley left Rhode Island, and he took the job at UConn, Rhode Island's final offer to him was, I believe, a $2 million a year salary and a guarantee that a new practice facility gets built in the next 2 years. That was part of their last-ditch best effort to keep their coach at Rhode Island was, yes, more money, but also guarantee that a first-rate practice facility was going to be built. You and I, the average fan, we go to the games and we'll be excited about a brand-new arena, and it's easy for me to sit here and say that helps in recruiting, and it all does, and that's all true. Great locker rooms, first-class amenities. That matters to students. That certainly matters. More comfortable seating. That certainly matters to fans. But a practice facility after the new arena, that's what needs to be next. That's what needs to be next is another facility for these kids, for these student athletes to go and practice. I had not thought about that until Jimmy Dykes mentioned that to us, and he was 100% right. So you want this program to go to the next level, and I certainly do. New game arena. Also a practice facility, and I know it's expensive, and I know it's not logical that you get both, but a new practice facility is something that maybe that helps you more in recruiting, maybe even than a new game arena. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. When we come back, a guy on Twitter, he called me out. It's time for me to respond. That's next. Regarding Brandon Cooks here on 101.3.
ESPN. Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas. Only on 101.3 ESPN.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas again back here in Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. If you want to, you can get in 802-655-6672. You can do so on the TikTok Jewelers guest line or the Town Fair Tire text line. We go up until 7 o'clock, full show today, no Red Sox baseball. 7:30 tonight over on 960, the Zone, Celtics at Raptors as the NBA season continues to wind down. 15 minutes away from Ron Bumgarner, who will join us from the Red Sox front office getting ready for the home opener tomorrow. But now, I need to respond to a Twitter comment that I got today, and it was a good one. So Paul on Twitter, I said that originally I did not understand the Patriots trade of Brandon Cooks, and I didn't like it because the Patriots were, this is initially, I didn't like the trade because the Patriots are sacrificing the ability to win now, and they are helping their future, okay? They've sacrificed the ability to win now by trading a good and productive player who's a known quantity for the ability to get some draft picks, which will hopefully become known quantities later. That is my initial reaction to the trade. The Patriots in the future got better. The Patriots now got worse. And Paul came to me on Twitter and said, Brady, you can't have it both ways. Last year, you were mad for trading for Brandon Cooks because they were mortgaging the future. Now you're mad at them for helping the future. What's the deal here? And Paul, that's a really good point. And I enjoy that, one, you remember that. Two, you're willing to call me out on it. But there's a simple difference here. Last year, at the time the Patriots traded for Brandon Cooks, I thought their future landed with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know Jimmy Garoppolo was a free agent at the end of this, you know, this last season. So there was no guarantee that he was going to stay in New England. But we were under the impression at that point that the Pats were going to figure out a way to get this done. Maybe they'll franchise tag Jimmy G. Then when they traded Jacoby Brissett, we really thought, okay, Jimmy Garoppolo is not going anywhere. So last year, at the time the Pats acquired Cooks, they had Jimmy Garoppolo, and I was under the assumption, simply put, that the Patriots had a guaranteed future beyond Tom Brady, and I didn't like that they were going to sap the team of draft picks and sap Jimmy Garoppolo's chance to be successful in a post-Tom Brady world. And no matter how good Brandon Cooks was, I didn't like the idea that team was going to take away Garoppolo's chances to be successful. And remember last year at the time when Cooks was acquired, this team had a healthy Julian Edelman. So we were able to look at the wide receiver depth chart and say, this team has Danny Amendola. This team has Julian Edelman. This team has Gronk as a pass catcher. This team has Deion Lewis and James White as pass catchers out of the backfield. This team has playmakers at pass catching positions. Why sap Jimmy Garoppolo's future and his future assets to go and get a position that at the time wasn't really a need? That is why last year I didn't love the acquisition of Cooks. Fast forward to this year now, at this point, why don't I love the idea of getting rid of Cooks to help the future? Well, simply put, those certainties last year that we thought we knew, they're not certainties now. Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. This team at the moment, as we are currently constructed today on April 4th, 2018, this team has no quarterback of the future. I'm not building for the future right now. I am playing for now. The minute you got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, you said we are all in on winning with Tom Brady. We are all in on extracting every sap of winning we can out of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So if that is the methodology that we're going to have, we're giving up the quarterback of the future for the quarterback now. Why not give the quarterback now as many weapons as possible? What does Tom Brady care about a couple of draft picks that might materialize into all-pro players in 4 years? Okay, that's great for the future, Patriots. That is not great for Tom Brady. That is not great for this year. Tom Brady needs weapons that can help him win now. And that weapon that can help him win now is Brandon Cooks. And then when we throw in there that the certainty of the wide receiver position, last year we had Danny Amendola. This year we don't. Last year you had Julian Edelman healthy. This year you don't. You have a question mark in Julian Edelman. You have a 32-year-old Julian Edelman coming off knee surgery, major knee surgery. We don't know what he is. So now, last year, wide receiver was not a position of need. This year, wide receiver is a position of need, and you just dealt from what was supposed to be a strength, and you've weakened your ability to win now. Think about it like this in terms of the Cleveland Cavaliers, because Tom Brady and LeBron James are very comparable in this way. LeBron James doesn't care about draft picks. LeBron James says, I have a finite amount of time in my career, and I certainly have a finite time in Cleveland. Is it the world's smartest thing for the Cavaliers to trade young players for older veterans? Probably not, because LeBron James could leave, and we got the phones ringing. I know we got Nathan here who can answer him. 802-655-6672. Intern Nathan will take your calls, so we'll get to those momentarily. But LeBron James doesn't care about draft picks. Colin Cowherd says it all the time. You can listen to Colin on 960 The Zone. He goes, what does Colin care about 18-year-olds? He doesn't want the number one pick in the draft. He's not going to be there to see that guy blossom into a superstar. He wants the he wants Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade, and he wants Rodney Hood and these guys that are a couple of years, you know, or guys that are in their prime or even a little bit past their prime but know how to win. Tom Brady's the same way. First-round draft pick doesn't help Tom Brady. Yes, if a first-round draft pick, you know, becomes what Brandon Cooks is in 3 years, that's great for the Patriots. That's not great for Tom Brady. So that is why I feel differently about this deal. Last year, I didn't want the team acquiring Brandon Cooks because they did deal from their future. This year, I didn't want the team to trade Brandon Cooks. They've already sacrificed their future in some ways in getting rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. They already have taken away that clear direction. Now, don't have your foot in both camps. You made the decision. Play for the now. Then play for the now. I am Mr. Prospect. I think everybody knows that who listens to me regularly. I am following Red Sox single-A prospects, okay? I don't want to deal top prospects. I want to develop them and win with them. That is what I like to do. But it's all about windows. It's all about windows to win. Do I want to trade Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard if I'm the Celtics? No, I don't want to make a giant deal. But you know what? If it came to, I wouldn't trade Jason Tatum for Kawhi Leonard, but if it came to trade Jaylen Brown and Al Horford and a draft pick, then yes, I would. Why? Because it's all about windows, and this is the Celtics' window. LeBron's window is closing in Cleveland, and the Sixers' window isn't quite open yet. So if the Sixers are going to take over the Eastern Conference in a few years, then I better beat them to the punch. So if I can get Kyrie, Hayward, and Kawhi Leonard for 2 years before the Sixers really ascend, that's my window. The Patriots' window with Tom Brady is now. It's not 3 years from now. It's now. And Brandon Cooks helps this team win now. And the Patriots dealt away a player who can help them win now with Tom Brady. They sacrificed the now with Brady to win later. But I don't care about later now. If I cared about later, Jimmy Garoppolo would be on this team and I would have paid him a bunch of money. So that right there, Paul, it's a real. I appreciate you questioning me on it. Last year I did. I did not like the idea of mortgaging the future for Brandon Cooks. This year, all the circumstances are different. And now, I don't like the idea of mortgaging the now to play for the future. It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You can always get in 802-655-6672. Ryan on the Town Fair Tire text line. I really feel like they think Malcolm Mitchell is the number one receiver. I know his health has been in question for the last couple of years. Looking at the trade, they got more than what they gave with one solid year of the deal. There is no way the Patriots actually sign him long-term, so this looks like a smart move. And what he's saying is that the team wasn't going to sign Cooks. And again, I get that. The Patriots were not going to sign Brandon Cooks. And I'm all for trading guys in the last year of contracts to extract some value. But you were going to get a compensation pick in the draft out of Brandon Cooks anyways when he walked. It's not like he was going to walk for nothing. You were going to get something for him, and I'd like to win the Super Bowl this year with Tom Brady and then get a third-round pick when he leaves, then make myself weaker, and then get a first-round pick that helps me in 3 or 4 years. I will say this, though. I do read this as that Bill Belichick is staying longer, because why would Bill Belichick be building for the future if he had no intention of seeing the future? That's just not the way teams operate. Bill Belichick's looking to help him and looking to help further his legacy. And that ESPN article said that Belichick is keenly aware of his history in the game. He's not weakening now, strengthening the future, if he's not going to be a part of the future. I take that to believe that Bill Belichick is in this for a couple of more years, and maybe he will outlast Tom Brady in New England. Again, if you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Sean and Swanton on the Town Fair Tire text line. What if Belichick is scheming a plan for Odell Beckham Jr. for the Giants? And sure, I've seen that as a possibility, and now the Patriots do have the draft capital to ability. They do have the ability and draft capital to make that deal. But Odell Beckham Jr. is in the final year of his contract also. The team didn't sign. They got rid of Brandon Cooks because they weren't going to sign him long term. Are they really going to go and acquire a guy who's in the exact same contract situation, $8 million last year of his deal, and they're going to go and give him massive money? He's coming off major surgery. He's been a headache before. If they weren't going to give Cooks the money, I don't know they're going to go and give Beckham more money. They have the ability probably to do it, but I don't think that that's their MO either. All I've heard is Patriots don't pay wide receivers. Why are they going to pay Beckham way more than they would have had to pay Cooks? Also, let's go out to the phone line now. We've got Zach from Burlington. Zach, what's going on, man? You're on Champlain Valley Game Night.
Hey, how you doing?
Zach, what's up?
Well, I just think, good or bad, this trade, it's irrelevant. It's like we get amnesia every offseason, and we just forget that Tom Brady will win all the big games, and it doesn't matter who he throws to, and they'll be 12-4, and they'll make the AFC Championship. We forget every year. So I feel like you might as well go with prospects because you're going to be there anyway.
So you think that this team wins no matter who, no matter who's there?
I mean, it's almost like people get amnesia every year. Like, oh, it's going to be different this year, and then you're in November, and you're like, oh, they're 8-1 again. Oh, okay.
But don't you think, Zach, that the team has to do, at this point in Brady's career, do everything they can to surround him with the best talent possible?
I mean, yeah, they want to make, you know, one, maybe two more runs at the whole thing. They felt like they came up short this year, but, you know, I feel like Bill trusts the process. You know, he knows what he's doing. I feel like they're going to get there no matter what, and I'm going to be upset because I'm not a Patriots fan, and every year I look at the standings, and it's 8-2 in November every year.
Well, I think part of that, Zach, and we appreciate the call, part of that is the division the Patriots play, and they have benefited from the fact that the AFC East has been, you know, largely weak for the last 20 years. I mean, Buffalo's been horrible most of the time, and when Miami or the Jets have been good, the other one has been bad, and it's been easy for the Patriots to beat up on the division. I think at this point in his career, even as good as Brady is, you still need good players around you, and you've seen what has happened to other great quarterbacks when they lose a lot of talent. Aaron Rodgers loses Jordy Nelson and doesn't quite look as good. Russell Wilson loses Marshawn Lynch and loses Jimmy Graham and doesn't quite look as good at certain times. And I'm not saying Brady is you know, exactly the same as those guys, but when you're giving away 1,000-yard receivers, Philip Dorsett is not just instantly replacing Brandon Cooks. It's not plug and play for those kind of players. 15 players last year had 1,000 yards receiving. Brandon Cooks is one of them. Don't just think Philip Dorsett walks in and does that next year. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Red Sox opening day is tomorrow. What's new at Fenway Park next year? Actually, this year. What's new at Fenway Park this year? We'll go out and talk to a member of the Sox front office to get you ready for opening day. That's next. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back, Champlain Valley Game Night, right here on a Wednesday. Final segment on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am pumped because despite the crummy weather today, we get baseball back in New England tomorrow. The Sox home opener, they are taking on the Tampa Bay Rays tomorrow. We will have the coverage for you starting at 1:20 tomorrow with the pregame show. And I already can't wait to get out to Fenway Park this year. So I know you guys are going to Fenway Park. So let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line right now and find ourselves Ron Bumgarner. He's in the ticketing department in the front office of the Red Sox, and he can tell us about all the goings on at Fenway this year. And we all make our annual pilgrimages to Fenway. Ron, thank you. How are you?
Brady, thank you for having me. And it has been a great, great start to the season. And Alex Cora has this team playing loose. So hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Well, the Sox are 5-1. You alluded to the great start right there, and the Sox are going to come back tomorrow, and they're going to take on those Rays. Really, the Rays again? We just saw them, Ron.
Well, I was actually down for the home opener in Tampa and got demoralized in about, I think it was, yeah, the eighth inning down there, and I was like, this is not the way to start the year, but thank God we turned it around. So the Rays are always a good rivalry, and they love getting after us. So it's going to be a good opening day, and then two great ball games this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, daytime baseball as well. So it's going to be fun.
Ron, we've been trying to get this out of everybody. We've asked Tom Caron. We found out from Amanda Pelkey, Vermont native Team USA women's hockey member, that she and some others are going to be maybe throwing out the first pitch tomorrow, the pageantry of the home opener. What can you tell us? Can you give us any secrets?
First, let me say this. I'm the ticket guy, so they don't tell me a lot, but okay. I can tell you this, and that is that it's going to be a celebration of New England Olympians and great athletes coming down on the field and being honored. We're going to have a flyover. There's going to be a special anthem singer. You know, most importantly, it's just the excitement and the buzz around the park of 38,000 people going crazy for opening day and cheering on the Red Sox. And thank God it looks like the sun is going to be out tomorrow. And we're looking forward for a great home opener.
Ron, let's talk about it again. I said people are going to go out to Fenway. We've been giving away Red Sox tickets for the last 2 weeks, and people are calling in so much. I got to busy the lines to a point. People want these tickets so bad. So when people go to Fenway this year, what new things do we have for fans and kind of the in-game experience?
First, you know, the most exciting thing to me is probably we've done a lot with our partners at Aramark to revamp the menus and a variety of items that folks can have when they come out to the ballpark. You know, I love the traditional, you know, hot dog and a soda and maybe a few too many beers.
Yeah.
And you know, my brother and his family want to get those vegetarian options which are out there, and you know, everything from salad to sushi to just more seating areas for families and folks who want to, you know, take an inning break and go sit somewhere on the concourse and grab a bite to eat. So a lot of changes out in the general concourse. And then also the right field roof deck. It used to be the Budweiser right field roof deck, and now it's the Sam Adams deck. And there's been a lot of changes up there where it's going to be more comfortable and greater seating options up there. And the one that's got the most publicity right now is our new dugout suite. So I'll try to explain it quickly. And basically, right beside the Red Sox dugout, there is a camera well where all the photographers and stuff sit. And then right beside that, we've dug out another area that's similar in feel to a dugout. Hmm. So fans will be able to, you know, if you have a group of anywhere from 12 to 25, you can call ahead, and there's still like 30 games available throughout the year where you can literally sit, you know, 25 feet from Hanley Ramirez or Mitch Moreland playing first base. Wow. Right on the field, even closer than the Red Sox dugout the way it sets up. So it's a great experience. You're smelling the grass, you're feeling the dirt, and it's something we've never had here at Fenway. Usually down close to the field, it's only, you know, the 50 to 60 year season ticket holders that get a chance to be down there, but now we have an option for fans who just want to take in one game and bring a group of people out and have a super special experience. So that's going to be a lot of fun too.
Ron Bumgarner, he's in the Red Sox front office. He's the ticketing guy, and he's telling us all the new things at Fenway Park this year. I'm excited about the Sam Adams deck that you just mentioned, because I remember I was at Citi Field last year when the Mets play, and I had a ticket that was on the left field line, but I ended up spending the entire game in right field on that Pepsi porch they have out there. How does the Sam Adams deck work at Fenway? Do I have to buy a ticket for that area, or can I buy a ticket anywhere and just hang out there?
Well, one of the new things is you can hang out on the it's hard to describe, but the way it's set up, there's an area on the front side that are tables and stools, and you have to have a ticket for those areas.
Okay.
You have to have a specific ticket for the Sam deck. However, you can go on the outside of the bar restaurant area up there and be able to see through the bar area to the field, and you can have a ticket, you know, anywhere in the ballpark and be able to go up there and grab yourself a bite to eat or grab a Sam Adams.
Now, for those of us who aren't, you know, for those people that aren't looking for the beer experience, as I just talked about, what about other things? I mean, I know there's a number of college specials. I mean, up here we've got UVM and St. Michael's and Champlain College, so there's some specials for college students, and there's some specials for some younger kids as well.
And you know, being a father and knowing that it's not an inexpensive adventure to go to a sporting event anymore, we're super excited about our Student 9 program. And The Student 9 program is any high school or college student can purchase a $9 ticket to any game throughout the year. You simply go to redsox.com/student, you sign up, and you get a code, and you're able to purchase a ticket to, I mean, the opening day Student 9 tickets are sold out, but we've got Student 9 tickets available for this weekend. We have them available for the Yankee series next week. And it's just a way to get, you know, I think there's 60 colleges in a 30-mile radius of Fenway, and there's probably 200 in New England. And a lot of these kids are like probably you and I were, eating oodles of noodles and ramen every night. So they can scrape up $9. They can get out to a ball game. It's cheaper than a movie, and it's a lot of fun. And we also have some areas where the students can congregate and have their own social experience. So that's a great one. And then my favorite is the Kid Nation program. And we gave away 25,000 free tickets to kids last year. Every kid who signs up is going to get a free ticket to the ball game. Their mom or dad needs to come with them and buy a ticket beside them. But you can basically get a ticket to any game. Some of the games, you know, sell out, so the earlier the better. But the Kid Nation program not only gives you a free ticket to the game, but you get a Kid Nation newsletter on a regular basis, you know, players talking about kids' issues, everything from school to how to field a grounder. And you also get some good swag when you join the program. So that's a lot of fun, too, and that you'll get a duffel bag, a Red Sox duffel bag, one of those athletic arm sleeves that, you know, Big Poppy used to wear, and, you know, along with that free ticket. So those are two great programs to try to make it a more affordable experience for families and kids.
Ron, this is probably not a decision that you made, but it's a decision that certainly impacts you and that you would be involved in. Fenway Park expanded their netting this year to go a little further down the foul lines to try to make it a safer fan experience. How does that impact the fan experience? It doesn't always mean impact in a negative way. I actually like that better because I do feel more comfortable at the games.
Let's see. When it first started a couple years ago the movement from MLB to extend the netting, the decision was made. I was against it, and, just to be quite frank. And then when my children come to a game now, after a couple incidents that I've seen around baseball and at Fenway Park, I won't sit in seats that aren't protected by the net. And we had a lot of studies presented to us, and one thing we found out was that you could be a world-class athlete, and if you're sitting in the first 10 rows somewhere in the infield, you can't react fast enough on a hard foul ball, foul tip. So what we found is we were worried about it. We knew it was going to be adjustment, especially for a lot of longtime season ticket holders. But overall, the vast majority have been supportive of it. And one thing we did, our owner John Henry was very focused on this issue. So we went down and we sat in like three different places during a game, and what we found is this, and you know, not everybody's going to agree with this, but what we found is once you're sitting there for 5 or 10 minutes, all of a sudden you don't even see the net anymore.
Yeah.
The technology that they have today, that net just kind of blends in and your eyes adjust to it, and you're exactly right. You can't pay attention every pitch of every at-bat, and so you do feel a lot safer, and you know, God willing, we're not going to have nearly as many folks getting a black eye from a foul tip anymore. So, it's been accepted well. There's still some old timers who don't like it, but I think once they get here and get adjusted to it, they're going to be fine and they're going to be safer. That's the bottom line.
Ron Mumgarner in the Red Sox front office, home opener tomorrow. We've got the coverage for you starting just after 1 o'clock. Sox and Rays first pitch just after 2 o'clock. It's been a great start to the Sox early season so far, and we look forward to continuing to send more people to Fenway. We know all our listeners are going to be heading to Fenway real soon. Ron, we appreciate it, and I look forward to coming out and trying the Sam Adams deck.
Come on out, and I hope you have a great day, and I hope a lot of your listeners get out to the ball games. You know, opening day is sold out right now, but there's tickets available for this weekend, a Saturday 1 o'clock game and a Sunday 1 o'clock game, and then the Yankees series next week is going to be super exciting. So log on to redsox.com and check out availability.
There he goes, Ron Bumgarner. Ron, we appreciate the time. Love having him on. Love the perspective. Opening day is tomorrow. Here's what happened. The home opener, rather, tomorrow. 1:20, the pregame show starts. 2:05, the first pitch. So the huddle will start late. We'll get on the air after the Red Sox game. approximately around 5:30 or so. So we will have the huddle and Champlain Valley game night tomorrow after Red Sox baseball. And we will see you tomorrow, everybody. It's 101.3 ESPN.